Hey, everybody. It is March the 31st, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And you are listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. You are also listening to us. We are broadcasting worldwide with pride on QNation.fm.
Or you could be listening to us on iTunes.
Or you're listening to us there, or even on clickexpose.com. So many different ways to listen to us. So we're going to jump right in. We have a jam-packed show for tonight. You ready for a jam-packed show, Becca?
I am ready.
All right. Last month in February, Natasha Dillon made national headlines when she married a man in New York City. Why is this national headlines?
Because
Natasha Dillon, they are both gay. Natasha Dillon, a lesbian, married Sergio Llanos, a gay man, right after a ton of same-sex couples were denied a marriage license. She is a member of the group Queer Rising, which is a group that is all about action for equality. And here to talk about Queer Rising is Natasha Dillon.
We meet weekly and we do different actions depending on what it is. We don't just focus on marriage. But because of, you know, the burn that we felt from December, we definitely did a few actions for the first few months around marriage. So we did there were a few senators that had sold their votes. It was a very convoluted situation.
Yeah,
why
we lost that. It was
vote.
Crazy.
Yeah, New York is not known for clean politics.
Or easy to follow politics.
No.
Right, so we kind of did some zaps around that, and there was one senator who had been arrested a year prior, and he had always said he was going to vote for marriage and to save his seat in the Senate because they were threatening to kick him out because he had been arrested for abusing his girlfriend.
Oh.
So he sold his vote to the group of senators that wanted against it, so we went and crashed his Christmas party, and... And we actually followed up with that, and he's now been expelled, and he ran again, and we worked pretty hard to get him to stay out of the Senate seat. So that was one thing that we had done around the marriage. There were other senators we actually have one senator who's closeted homosexual. So we highlighted that for a while.
You guys are all about action, and that's what I think it sets you apart a little bit from all the other groups. You know, this is not necessarily a letter writing group. This isn't a let's email our congressman group. You guys are in the old tradition of ACT UP, carrying that through and taking action. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. That's where we get our inspiration from, are those guys, and there are a few of the old members of ACT UP that are definitely, you know, within our group and helping us out and taking part in our actions. And, you know, AIDS, what it was 20 years ago is not necessarily what it is now, but it's definitely still, you know, a problem. So a lot of their energy and a lot of their anger is now focused on us just getting our equality and getting our civil rights. So they're part of us as well. And I'm actually personally a part of ACT UP as well.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's great.
It's not the direct action civil disobedience that it was 20 years ago.
Right.
I think that energy has moved towards our civil rights, and that's sort of what the movement is moving towards, is that demanding those rights and now doing sort of that sort of stuff. This has become a national thing. There's different organizations everywhere. Like I said, I'm out here in California now, and I met with a group of people here that are just same thing. It could feel the same vibe as it was in December for us in New York. Like just this anger, this frustration, and not knowing where to direct it, and kind of helping them form what we did in New York as far as how to exactly direct it, and that's to demand our rights.
So where can folks go to learn more about everything that you're doing about Queer Rising?
Sure, yeah. We do have a website. It's queerrising.org. We also have a Twitter and a Facebook and all those sorts of things. But you can also email us directly at queerrising@gmail.com, or you can email me at Natasha, thequalityatgmail.com.
Awesome. Natasha, this is great. I mean, it's just, you're doing such amazing work, and I love calls to action. I love that you can't look at Queer Rising, you can't look at what happened with you in February and say, well, there's a group that's not acting. You guys are acting, and it really is inspiring. You know you're inspiring the masses, right?
I hope so.
You are. So. You are. Natasha, what an absolute pleasure to talk with you about all the cool stuff you're doing. You're going to keep on acting, right?
Definitely.
Awesome.
Always. Excellent.
Natasha, thank you so much. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
Okay. All the best.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go. So this is an update from a story that we covered quite a bit ago. A lawsuit brought against the Mohawk Central School District in New York. Remember we talked about the Mohawk Central School District?
We did.
It ended with a settlement this past Monday with the district agreeing. The Mohawk Central School District is now agreeing to protect gay and gender nonconforming students from harassment, The settlement includes the school district consenting to numerous policy changes, including increased training for school officials and oversight by the New York Civil Liberties Union, which represented the student involved in the lawsuit. The ninth grade student at Gregory B. Jarvis Jr. Senior High School, who has since transferred to another school in another district, he had complained to school officials about harassment and discrimination related to his perceived sexual orientation. He claims his complaints went unaddressed by the school district, and now the U.S. Department of Justice took the unlikely step of filing a motion to intervene on his behalf, and now this school is going to make some much-needed changes.
Yes, and it sounds like they're going to do actual annual training for faculty and staff, which is fantastic.
This is a good thing.
This can make a huge difference to the kids in a school. I mean, it's just unbelievable what a little bit of training can do just to raise awareness and... All it takes is one lawsuit.
Yes. Now, the funniest, please tell me terrible. You saw this Oklahoma story. I thought this was the funniest story of the week.
No.
Oh, lawmakers in Oklahoma thought they'd figured out a way to exempt the state from enforcing the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Act.
Because that's something you want to get around.
Well, that's something that we spend time in Oklahoma. If you don't know, the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Act, it adds protections based on sexual orientation and gender identity to the Federal Hate Crimes Act. But thanks to a legislative error, the Oklahoma Senate has instead passed a bill that sidesteps protections based on race and religion. Oops. Senate Bill 1965, passed on March 10th, states that local law enforcement agencies should not enforce any sections of federal law listed under Title 18 U.S. Code Section 245 unless they are already covered by state law. But it's Section 249, not 245, where sexual orientation and gender identity are listed.
Oh.
Section 245, the one they passed, outlines protections based on race and religion.
So they still have to protect the gays, but...
But now, your race and religion? Sorry. Now that the mistake has been made public, the bill has little chance of getting through the House, according to Sarah Warbelow, the Human Rights Campaign
State Legislative
Director.
Oh my gosh, they should have been quiet on it.
That's just hilarious. But that's a little solace for Equality Oklahoma President Toby Jenkins. People are a little embarrassed that it got this far. So
yes, we should attention add, lawmakers. Yes. Read what you're passing,
but
and maybe actually think about it.
The point of the story being unbelievable that we spend time. This is one of the most pressing issues, economy, everything else going on out there. Hey, Oklahoma, let's spend time trying to get around the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Act. Hey, if you live in Oklahoma, shoot us off an email. We would love to know what life is like. We'll talk to you. We'll maybe even read your email if you want us to. Send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com.
Okay, so can we go to the news story that's not a news story?
Is this Ricky Martin?
It is Ricky Martin. Do we? I mean, is anyone surprised?
Well, apparently Andrew wants this story to be much bigger than it is. And so he was just disappointed that... I think that was actually his status update. Why aren't more people... passionate about that Ricky Martin came out.
Andrew, because we knew. I mean, not
but
that you can
deal.
Stereotype people.
Still a big deal.
Because you shouldn't.
And we're happy. But yes, it's... He came out, Ricky Martin. So, I think the one of the articles said it was almost as surprising as Sean Hayes coming out a few weeks ago. But yes, so Ricky Martin, welcome. Over in Pennsylvania... This shows that marriage is one thing, divorce, something completely different. Mm. A judge has ruled that a lesbian couple married in Massachusetts will not be allowed to get a divorce in Pennsylvania. Carol Kern and Robin Taney's, they married in Massachusetts in 2009 because same-sex marriage is legal there, but it is not legal in their home state of Pennsylvania.
So when they're stuck forever.
They're stuck for a bit. When the couple decided to divorce, they found out that while Massachusetts has no residency requirement to marry, they have a one-year residency requirement to divorce. The two of them filed for divorce in Pennsylvania, where a judge this past Friday refused to divorce the couple. Berks County Judge Scott Lash wrote in his ruling, quote, "Relief under the divorce code can only be obtained by parties who are recognized to be married."
But you know what? At least they haven't done what I've heard of other couples doing, which is to try to then like renounce the whole thing because gay marriage isn't legal in that state, and so they just set everything back even more because they wind up pushing that
fighting against
gay marriage. Yes, they wind up fighting against gay marriage, which is a right they clearly respected.
That was a Law
and
Order
point.
Episode.
Was it?
It was, where they had to, where they decided in order to convict the murderer, they had to prove that he, they had to get his spouse to spill the details, and so they had to prove that they weren't really married, and so spousal privilege didn't apply. This is really what my watching Law and Order, just taking up room in my freaking head right now. Hey, if you want to listen to past shows of ours, you can stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com.
We don't always talk about Law and Order.
No, we don't. We talk about all
of
these
Sometimes we talk about real news.
We talk about real news. Did you see the poll, the big poll that everyone's talking about today?
Oh, the almost half of Americans would be okay with a gay president?
Yes.
And then a bunch of them apparently think we do have a gay president?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that story was a little ridiculous.
He's come out and said that he's not supporting us in so many things.
So for folks that didn't see, the poll, half of Americans would be fine with a gay president. According to the latest 60 Minutes Vanity Fair poll, only 44% opposed the idea. And then there was this other article, this op-ed piece on 365gay.com that was saying, quoting the family, it must have been the Family Research Council or Family Values Council or something that doesn't like gays, saying that, well, isn't Obama gay? You know, they're saying Obama is our first gay president. So then I clicked on the Family Research Value Council article hating gays organization. I'm just going to add a lot of words
up now. Yeah.
And that's not actually what the article said at all. It was saying, well, if people were saying through opinion pieces that President Clinton was the first black president based on his support for the black community, then President Obama must be the first gay president. So it wasn't, I don't know if we can speak out against people who are speaking out against us, but let's at least be accurate and not characterize it. It was saying, oh gosh, look how dumb they are. They're saying that President Obama is gay. No, that's actually not what
they're
saying.
That's not so what they're trying to say.
I'm totally for opposition, opposing opinions, all that kind of stuff. But it needs to be informed. We like when it's informed.
At least sensical.
Yes. Exactly.
That's all I ask.
I have to say,
you can disagree with me all you want. Just at least make sense.
There was
a logical
poll.
Argument.
I have to say this real quick. And this is,
I hate these polls.
Well, this one I'm not even going to ask
You're
you.
Just
I was
making
actually,
stuff up.
I was offended by the poll question was ridiculous. This was also on 365gay.com. One in seven in Washington, D.C. are HIV positive. Will you use extra precautions if you have sex there? This was the poll question.
Oh, gosh.
And here were your choices. If I were to travel there, choice one, if I were to travel there, I would probably avoid all sexual activity because of this study. Option two, yes, I would use extra precautions. Option three, I think one in seven is exaggerated. I don't think I'll do anything differently. Option four, I'm always as safe as possible. I have a problem with this poll question that this was put out there, and thousands of people have responded to this poll question. But happily, the plurality and the majority actually was I am always as safe as possible, but certainly people chose yes, I would use extra precautions if I was in DC, and 9%
what
said,
does that mean, like bathe in bleach or
I,
what
no, I mean it's unbelievable. 9% said I think 1 in 7 is exaggerated. I don't think I'll do anything differently. Little ridiculous. All right, we are gonna play some more music as requested by tonight's guest. Enjoy. Thank you. Boy, that's some psychedelic music.
I think we're going to talk about that. Off of that music.
That's cool. That's fun. All right, guest, you ready to be welcomed?
I'm ready to be welcomed.
Awesome. Nick Bird's debut novel, The Vast Fields of Ordinary, which I read cover to cover this week, was published in May 2009 by Dial Books for Young Readers and received starred reviews from Kirkus Reviews, Library School Journal, and Booklist. The New York Times Sunday Book Review, which is, you know, the New York Times Sunday Book Review, hailed the book as fascinating and dreamy and the best kind of first novel. It named it a notable book of 2009. It won, I got a lot more, Nick, so you just hang out.
Uh-oh.
It won the American Library Association's inaugural Stonewall Book Award for Children's and Young Adult Literature. It was just nominated for a Lambda Literary Award. And it's been optioned for a film starring Becca and I. And Nick was named to our favorite list of all the lists, the Out Magazine's Out 100 Most Influential Folks in LGBT Culture. Nick Bird, welcome to this show. It's so good.
Welcome. Did Ken tell you that we're number 117 on there?
Yes, we are number 117 on the Out 100. We're making our way up.
That's good.
That's what we were told. Tell us, how did you find out? How about that Out 100? How did you find out that you were named to that list?
I got an email. They're like, you're gay and you're fabulous. We want to put you on this thing.
We just want to know because we're waiting for
for the email.
We're
so
like,
we
is it
know.
A phone call in the middle of the night? Do they come with balloons? Like Publishers Clearinghouse?
See, it's in your spam folder.
Oh,
we haven't been checking the spam folder.
Nick Bird just raised some hope. Now tell everyone who you were in the picture with.
It was Paul Rudnick and Mark Doty.
You were in a picture with Paul Rudnick and Mark Doty. How cool was that?
It was pretty awesome. It was a really, really hot day. And we went up to Columbia because the theme was like back to school. And so they had us on this bench pretending to read books. And it was fun. It was very hot. And I remember that shoot very well. One of the reasons I remember the shoot is because my agent called me at the shoot to tell me that the book had been optioned for film.
Wow.
So it was a very good, hour and a half.
Now, what would you say the expression on your face was as you were looking at Mark Doty? Now, as someone who, doesn't know you, Nick Bird, not knowing Nick Bird, and just looking at that picture, how would you characterize Nick Bird's expression?
Well, I think they wanted me to look like I was cruising him on the park.
Yes, that is what I thought.
That is the look.
At first they had us all reading, and then they're like, look at him, look at Mark. And I was like, all right. And looking at him, they're like, squint your eyes. Look at him. Like, really look at him. I was like, I see where this is going.
Yes. Yes. I affectionately call that picture two writers and a seedy guy.
That's me.
Not true. That is not true.
You all looked quite intellectual, though a little distracted.
Yes, that was great. That was awesome. Well, that's a huge honor. I was so happy to see that.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, it was cool.
Now, we have a ton to talk about with The Vast Fields of Ordinary. You ready to talk about it?
I'm ready.
You're not, talked out about this book, right?
No, I like talk. I mean, I feel lucky to be able to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
well,
I...
wait a minute. You actually read this book, Kent.
I read this book cover to cover.
I read the chapter, but I feel like I'm really the reader in this particular team. So...
I know.
You read the whole book. Ken doesn't read books.
I read tons of... I have a PhD, thank you very much. I didn't read a lot for it. But so I got the book on Monday, Nick, and I finished it on Tuesday. And I went over to Amazon.com to... This is... I don't know if I should be embarrassed about this, Nick. You're going to tell me. I went over to Amazon.com just to see what other people were saying about it. And I saw something kind of funny on the page about the book. Apparently, the book is classified as a young adult book.
It is. Yes, it is. Dino Books, the people that published my book, they're the young adult imprint of Penguin.
Now,
yes.
Nick, what does it mean if I needed Amazon to tell me that I had just read a young adult book?
I don't know. I guess that's, I mean...
It means that your vocabulary is so advanced that typical books always seem simple to you.
No, I'm serious. I in some ways, I was actually kind of upset that it was classified as a young adult book because I thought that really, I don't know, maybe it pigeonholed it. I don't know.
Young adults are ready for meatier issues now.
Well, I know. I started the book when I was in graduate school, and I wasn't even really thinking about, you know, how I would sell the book. I mean, I guess if you asked me, I would have said it was an adult novel. But then, you know, all this stuff started happening with it, and the publisher came to me and was like, you know, we want to publish this as a young adult book. And I was like, okay, it wasn't something I was expecting, but I thought about it, and I was like, you know, how cool is it that this is a book that will be marketed to teenage kids?
Yes,
I mean,
it's awesome.
When I was a teenager, the gay books that I read was basically like me fantasizing about the Hardy Boys or something.
There you go.
No, really gay books. So I was like, that'll be cool. Like, it'll be nice for, you know, I mean, there are really good gay novels for teenagers right now. And I was like, I'll throw another one on the pile.
Awesome. Absolutely.
So now have you gotten a ton of responses from gay teenagers or straight teenagers?
I get emails through my website quite often. Gay teenagers, straight teenagers, boys, girls, and, you know, I mean, adult gay men as well, you know, read the book and...
Like me.
Like you. I seem to enjoy it, so...
Have there been any book burnings in small towns?
Not to my knowledge.
I feel like that's when you made it big.
Totally. when people are terrified of you, that's when you made it.
I mean, the New York Times is one thing, but...
But the book burning, yes. I mean, come on.
Totally. I mean, no book burnings yet. No, I haven't heard anybody banning the book or anything.
I know this seems very, I mean, Nick, we don't know each other, but I feel like we're getting to know each other now. And so it seems like a very silly question as I say it out loud, but I've been thinking this question for the past couple days as I finished the book. Can you tell everyone why, not so much why Ken was taken with the book, but why... Why are people taken with the book? I was riveted. It really struck a chord for me. And actually, my partner Andrew and I had quite a heated discussion before I left the house to come to the studio. He was saying, well, you know, we're not at that point anymore. We're not in angst mode. And I said, yeah, but it wasn't that wasn't it for me. I was really taken with it. I want you to tell everyone why I was taken with it.
All right. I'll try and guess. And
go for it.
I mean, when I wrote the book, I tried to hit on the points of, you know, of being a teenager, just being a person that everyone can relate to. I mean, you know, everyone knows what it's like to be lonely or feel like you're the only one who feels a certain way. And I tried to use that as the basis. I mean, Dade, the main character, I wanted him to know he was gay, like, on page one.
Yes.
You know? And I didn't want him to, like, figure it out and be like, oh, maybe I like boys. Oh, no. Or anything like that. So, I mean, I think a lot of Dave's, you know, angst isn't about, you know, figuring out who he is and who he, like, that he's gay, but actually about, you know, finding somebody else who understands him and accepts him for who he is. And I think, you know, I think that's something that everyone goes through at some point in time. Especially when you're in high school. I mean, I think 90% of the world felt like a freak when they were in high school.
Totally.
And the other 10%, and I thought they were really cool, and now they, you know, work at a car wash or something.
Exactly.
Or we went to
or
nerd
taco
school.
Taco.
If
totally.
You go to well, nerd school,
it's good.
Special.
Insecurity is good. I mean, you're thinking about things.
Yes. No, absolutely. Now, I have to say, your gay teenagers and your straight teenagers too. There's quite the connection between Dade and alcohol and other drugs.
Right. I mean, I think one of the things in the book you'll see. I feel like I wanted everyone in the book to be trying to escape through some sort of outlet. I think Dade uses, you know, drugs and alcohol for that. He also uses music for that.
Yes.
You have somebody like his mother who uses kind of like New Age spirituality and prescription medication. You have somebody like his father who just kind of shuts down and is also seeing this other woman. You have somebody like Pablo who, you know, just pretends certain things aren't happening. I always thought that a big theme in the book was escape. You know, drugs and alcohol are kind of part of that. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And I don't know. I mean, I felt like, you know, high school kids smoke pot and have sex and drink alcohol. And I'm not going to say it's the best idea in the world, but there are definitely, I think there are worse things as well.
Okay.
And, yeah,
I mean, I just wanted to write a book that was as honest as possible.
Absolutely. No, I was there. I'm telling you, Andrew's at home. Andrew's on the couch right now. Well, actually, Andrew should be listening to the show. But after that, I know that I left Andrew reading the book, so we will have much. This is our book club for the day, I think.
You didn't buy him a separate copy?
No, he read my copy. That's fine.
Is he pirating a copy?
No, we can share. Nick is fine with us sharing a book. It's bringing everyone closer together.
I'm fine.
Now, okay. I have to talk about, I was reading your Twitter. I was reading one of your tweets, and one of your tweets, which I would like to ask you about, was the Gore Vidal quote about what on earth is gay fiction? Does that mean the book only hangs out with other books? And go ahead.
Well, I follow these different writers and bookstores and things on Twitter, and that was a quote that popped up, and I thought it was funny. Because, I mean, yeah, I think people, I mean, even with, like, the young adult thing or the gay literature thing or, you know, the chick lit thing, I mean, people, all that labeling is really just, like, marketing, you know? That's how the people in the publishing house, like, try and figure out how they're going to get it into certain people's hands. But if a book is good, a book is good, and it doesn't really, the label is very much beside the point.
Absolutely.
You're in kind of a funny place with that. As I was reading that, and I'm thinking, okay, well, he's been nominated for these different awards, and some of them are LGBT writing awards, and is it really, it's an LGBT book because there's a gay character in it, but at the same time, I'm thrilled that you're nominated for these awards.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one of the things about the book that feels very, I didn't really think about all that stuff when I was writing the book, like, this will be a gay book, this will be a young adult book, I hope I get nominated for gay awards. I hope I get nominated for, you know, the National Book Award or something like that. I just kind of, you know, I mean, as a writer, my main concern on a daily basis is when I sit down at my computer to just, you know, come up with a story that I enjoy and that I think is, you know, of value. And kind of everything after that, once the book is, you know, out of my hands and on the shelf, everything out of that feels so far out of my control that, like, I could worry about it, and I just drive myself crazy. I'm like, oh, just let it happen. I don't mind being labeled as one thing or another, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
This is good. Can we do a little, like, Nick Bird's Learning Annex for our listeners? Because...
Totally.
Okay. Because we have a ton of people writing in and saying, well, gosh, I want to just put my ideas down, and I have all these great stories to tell, but I just can't seem to get started. Nick Bird's Learning Annex that you're not in any way being compensated for. Tell folks how to get started. How do we transfer these ideas onto the page?
You just have to sit down and do it. You have to be willing to put the work in. And I think the big thing is, the best advice I ever got that I feel like was kind of the turning point for me as a writer was finish everything you start.
Okay.
And there were definitely moments with this book, you know, many times when I was in graduate school and before I knew anything was going to happen with it, I was like, this sucks. This is terrible. I'm deleting this. I'm throwing this away. Like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, I had some really great teachers, and they're like, no, I was like, finish it. Finish the book. And, I think when you finish a piece, you kind of like, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You have to put a first draft down. Nobody writes a perfect novel in one, you know, sitting. But when you get to the end, you kind of have a diagnosis. You're almost like a doctor. And then it's like, you can look at it and be like, okay, this is what's working correctly. This is what needs to be fixed. And then you go back in there and you make changes and you you pull stuff and put something at the end in the beginning and rewrite, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, it's a lot. It's work, you know.
It's work.
Yeah. That's the one thing people forget is you're like, oh, I want to write a book. I have all these great stories. But finding a way to, you know, I mean, as a writer, your goal is to kind of hypnotize people with words. You know, you want somebody to sit down and take what you've made and, you know, have them feel like they're living it. So, I mean, that's something you have to work at, you know. I think like that's kind of like quote unquote the secret. And I think anybody is capable of writing a book or a short story if they just sit down, get to the end, and then go back and, you know, do the rewriting. And it's hard, and you know, you write a lot of bad stuff and then you write something good, and it just takes time.
So you don't have to have a writing room, a cardigan, and a pipe.
Exactly. You don't have to have any of that stuff. You don't have to be a drunk, you don't have to be miserable, you don't have to be half insane.
Do you have to have a certain brand of pen or laptop?
It's different for everybody.
Do you have a writing place? Is there a place that you write more often than not?
I write a lot in my apartment. Sometimes there's a really great coffee shop opened on my block like 7 or 8 months ago that has really good coffee and is really cozy, and so I go there.
Do they know what you're up to?
I don't know. I have no idea. They probably think I'm like searching for porn or something.
You should well, give them a couple copies of the book and be like, you should sell these here and tell people.
Will.
You know, like you should get a theme drink or something.
Yes.
There we go. That's what I'll do.
I'm not saying, Nick, that they think that you're searching for porn. I will say that if you are using the look that you use in the Out 100
then they
photo,
totally think you're searching
totally.
For porn.
I just want to.
Yeah, I'm the creepy guy who sits there and looks at people.
Just want to be really careful with that. Just want to be careful with that. What are you working on now?
I'm working on two things. I have another young adult novel coming out with Dial Books, and that will come out, I think it's going to be in the fall of 2011.
Okay.
About a year and a half. And then I'm also working on a quote-unquote adult novel.
Ooh.
So I'm working on those two things.
See, right being now. A writer requires so much planning. Fall 2011.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I'm not even sure I'm going tomorrow. To have my taxes done this week. I'm like, should I do that tomorrow or this weekend?
All right, now we got to put you on the spot. We need to talk to you about some of this music that you, sir, have requested. You ready to talk about your music?
I love talking about music.
Okay, so this is the part of the show, Nick Bird, where you tell our listening audience what these songs that you have requested that we've been listening to all night say about Nick Bird.
Say about me as a person.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, here we go. First, let's start with Walkabout. What does Walkabout by Atlas Sound say about Nick Bird?
What does it say about me? Well, Atlas Sound, the guy who is Atlas Sound is this songwriter named Bradford Cox, who is also in a band called Deer Hunter. Bradford was also named one of the Out 100, I think.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's Deer Hunter, everything he does, like, he's one of my favorite songwriters. And the song Walkabout, I think it's just, like, one of my favorite songs of last year. It's very happy.
Okay, there we go.
Does that mean that you're happy?
Are you a happy guy, Nick Bird?
I'm a happy guy. I'm a very happy guy.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, this is the one that I told Nick when he called in. I had to check in with Becca and say, is this what this song is supposed to sound like? What does Deadbeat, and as it turns out, yes, Deadbeat Summer. What does Deadbeat Summer by Neon Indian say about Nick Bird?
Wait, I feel like whatever he's about to say will explain, like, everything
I'm,
about him.
I'm so
him
excited.
And how to write.
There you
go. No pressure.
I actually picked that song because I knew we were talking about my book, and that is also one of my favorite songs right now. And my book, you know, takes place during the summer. And I think it's just like a good summer song.
Okay.
It's like, it reminds me of like...
Do you have
like
some good summers that you're looking back at when you say that?
Totally. I mean, summer in New York City, I mean, it's just like nothing like in the world.
Oh,
so.
It's the best. Mm. But not that we're going into that. Becca doesn't want a New York City love fest. So.
Totally. It's so great, though.
It's so great. All right, can we make you do one more?
Yeah.
Let's make you do one more. What does... Oh, this is kind of a fun choice because I could go either direction on this one. I'm going to do this one. What does Trouble Comes Running, it's a pretty loaded title, say about Nick Bird by Spoon? Trouble Comes Running.
I mean, I don't know if these songs say anything about me.
They have to.
But you chose them to represent
okay.
you.
I would say, I mean, I can get into some trouble sometimes.
Is that right?
Totally. Trouble follows me sometimes.
Ooh.
I know.
So trouble is running towards you.
Trouble is always running.
You're not the one running.
No.
Oh, see, that's not what I pictured. I pictured Nick Bird running, and that's trouble.
I'm a bad runner?
No, no, no. Wow. I'm just saying, oh, look, it's Nick running towards me. Look, trouble is coming, and it's running. That's more what I mean.
So I'm the trouble.
Yes. That's...
Maybe I'm trouble.
All right. Just spicing it up for you, Nick Bird. Just trying to sell some books here. All right, so where should folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you, sir, are doing?
You can go to my website, which is nick-bird.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can come over to my apartment.
All right.
I'll make you a BLT. Yeah, my website is pretty updated with, you know, all the things I have going on. Let's see now. You know, I'll put the podcast, this wonderful
awesome
interview up there.
Great.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. And friend me on Facebook. Be my friend.
We want to be your friend, Nick.
Yes. I have to say, your website makes me want to add a Twitter feed to our website.
I do enjoy
it. It's the first time I've seen someone's website where I'm like, oh, that's Twitter
what
is
that
for.
Could look like.
Because I can't figure it out.
It's like the Nick Bird News Ticker.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is.
Totally.
Everyone should subscribe to the Nick Bird News Ticker, also known as
Nick
Twitter.
Channel.
Nick, I don't care if the book is young adult. I don't care if it's gay fiction. It's just a darn good read.
Awesome.
It's a darn good read. You really, I will tell you, you have a real ear for dialogue, too.
Dialogue's fun to write.
Do you feel like you know Dade? Who is Dade to you right now? Do you feel like, is this a real person in your life?
He's not based on anybody real, but I mean, as a character, to me, he feels very real.
Yeah.
And it's funny to get so many times at this book, people are like, oh, so like, that's you. And it's totally not the case. He definitely feels like somebody that I'm like, feel kind of protective of.
I just feel like he exists somewhere. I wasn't thinking so much it was you as much as there's some guy named Dade somewhere, and I feel like I kind of know him.
Yeah, and he lives in my book.
He lives in your book with my buddy Lucy, who I'm obsessed with. But anyway, all right, folks, go on over to nick-bird.com. Read his Twitter feed. Go pick up a copy of The Vast Fields of Ordinary. Nick Bird, an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me on. It was awesome.
Keep on writing, sir.
Thanks.
All the best.
Bye.
Away. I have my brown sound jacket, Queen of Gold collect on my arm. She was my calmer down, she was my good luck charm, she was my good luck. Here it come running, here it come running again. Ah, trouble come running, here it come running again. Well, alright, I got it taken away by heavenly hosts to a heavenly place. I didn't want to leave, I would not be swayed. Ah, but here it come running, here it come running again. Trouble where it kicks up, here it come running. Well, are you picking up? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Putting down, come running, here it come running. I'll run it again. In a functional way, and thinking clean, clean thoughts, effort just to keep my nose on, just trying to look straight ahead.
don't want to tell him he's wrong. Want to tell him he's wrong. It come running, you it come running. You would come running again. The slaves are on the hunt. Princes walk the ground like the slaves. I hear it come running. You would come running again. I'm running again. Running again. Running again.
Good stuff, good stuff. Everybody's got to go pick up that book. I read the book. I enjoyed the book. It's a really good book. Vast Fields of Ordinary, Nick Bird. All right, what other things do we want to talk about? Everybody's okay with a gay president.
I want to talk about the separate living quarters for unit cohesion.
Yeah. That did happen in the last week, didn't it?
Yes.
That he said that. Tell everyone.
The quote was Marine Command General James Conway told Military.com, quote, I would not ask our Marines to live with someone who is homosexual if we can possibly avoid it. And to me, that means we have to build BEQs, bachelor enlisted quarters, and have single rooms.
Huh. Well, there you go.
So.
The ever-going,
yes, because it's
ongoing,
contagious.
Yes, saga of don't ask, don't tell. We will give you weekly updates as it develops, although, you know, not much happens.
Though I thought it was really funny that, like, the continuation of this quote goes into, like, oh, well, we'd have to have four kinds of showers for, you know, gay men, gay women, straight men, straight women, and that would ruin everything, you know. That will ruin all the teamwork and discipline and...
Sorry, radio listeners.
I just think it's funny.
You can't hear my eyes rolling.
Yeah.
But they are rolling. They are rolling right now. Hey, so folks have to go over to thisshowsogay.com and check out last week's show with Sylvia Allen. Sylvia Allen is just an incredible humanitarian who leads all these trips to Uganda, and she talks about it on the show. And she also, earlier this year, wrote this really strongly worded letter to President Obama decrying the anti-gay, kill the gays legislation in Uganda. And what I said on the air was, I want to go to Uganda. I'm going with Sylvia Allen to Uganda.
So he's going.
I'm going. A week later, I have an e-ticket to go with Sylvia Allen to Uganda this June. I am so absurdly psyched. I'm pretty psyched. So you folks can do this too. Go over to sylviaschildren.org and learn about what she's doing. But if you just decide you're going to do something, just go out and do it. So June is going to be a little sick. June is going to be a little crazy for me.
Yeah, we might be on sabbatical that month.
Well, I'm really excited because I've been telling people this. I'm doing, because as we've been talking about in past shows, I'm doing the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride from June 4th to 14th. And then I come back for 2 days. And then I go to Uganda from June 17th to 29th. And it's just going to be too...
And then he's going to sleep until...
Yes. Then I'll be
August.
Sleeping until the school year starts. It's just going to be two completely different looks at HIV and AIDS.
Absolutely.
From the AIDS ride to what I'll be seeing in Uganda. So I'm really excited about that, of just traveling in a way that I've never traveled before. So I'm
We're
definitely going to
do
blog.
An international broadcast, right?
I would love... I will record something. I'll bring a little recording device and record a couple pieces from Uganda. But I'm pretty excited. But I've been assured, because I put it on my Facebook, and people have been writing, you can't go to Uganda, you're going to get killed. But I have been assured by Sylvia Allen, who is going to have to go call my mom, that I will not get killed. And I'm just going to be having the most incredible experience. So I'm really excited about that. So that's really pretty much it for us for this week. To learn more about our show, you can stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Over there, you can see that, click on the contact link, and you can send us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. And we respond to each and every single email that we get. If you have ideas for guests, if you want to vent about something, if you want to direct us towards a news story. We had one of our listeners, Jordan, directed us to one of the stories just about Virginia and how little the Virginia governor was really doing to counteract the Virginia attorney general and all his just terrible comments about how colleges should not protect based on sexual orientation. So Jordan,
yeah,
thanks for sending that over. We're always looking for new news stories. And you can also click on upcoming and learn about all the amazing guests that we have coming up. We got Ari Gold coming up next week. We have Phil Putnam coming up. We have my favorite from RuPaul's Drag Race, Tammy Brown is coming up in a few
weeks. We have a few favorites from that show.
I know. Oh, I shouldn't say that because we've had other people. And I love Angina, who we had on the show. I could never forget the ultra classy Jade. But I don't know. I have a special place in my heart for Tammy Brown. I'm very excited to have Tammy Brown. She's just got that right kind of quirky that I am very excited about. And then also, you can join our Facebook group. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in our Facebook group, and you can do that. So that's pretty much it for us on this end, folks. Get out there. Go do amazing, amazing things. Send us an email. Learn more about a gay issue. Go pick up Nick Bird's book, The Vast Fields of Ordinary. Go learn about Natasha Dillon and all the great work that she is doing. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
There is no reason.